What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Blue Kool-Aid drinker, it's Big Z here. The Lions facing off against a familiar foe, Matt Stafford, traveling to L.A. this weekend. The Lions are big, big underdogs. We're going to be breaking down this game. Taylor Decker not practicing, T.J. Hockenson not practicing. Taylor Decker, who knows when he's going to come back. T.J. Hockenson, knee issue, this has been a recurring thing. But then he always ends up suiting up on Sunday. Those are two big injuries. I don't think we got into that in the podcast, unfortunately, but just wanted to note that. Taylor Decker, what'd you do to your hand? Jesus. It's like you got run over by a car or something. Anyways, thank you, everybody, for listening. We have Kid J, our producer, entering the Lion's Den. Don't worry. We'll get into all of it. So just sit back, relax, grab your Kool-Aid, get ready for Matt Stafford playing against the Lions for the first time since he left. Grab your Kool-Aid. Time for the pod. This is Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. We're lifelong Lions fans. Bob!
All right, let's go, Lions fans. The Jared Goff era has begun.
Connor!
Hey, let's bite some kneecaps. Detroit versus everybody, baby.
UJ!
A new era in Detroit has begun, people. So get on the train or get left behind.
Rud Dog.
This is going to be an unprecedented era of Detroit Lions respect.
And I'm Big Z. It's a new era of Detroit Lions football. It's going to be one hell of a season. We'll be drinking the blue Kool-Aid with Dan Campbell all year long. Predictions, thoughts, reactions, everything. We got it here. Sit back, relax, and grab your Kool-Aid, fam. Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, we are back and ready for week 7 of the NFL season. That's right, week 7 already. Time is just flying by this season, for better or for worse, probably for worse and for our sake so far. But either way, we will be drinking a Kool-Aid still. And before we get into this game where we are reuniting against Matt Stafford, let's get to the Blue Kool-Aid crew. We got three-fifths of them here. So I'm Big Z. Then we got Bob.
Hello there.
And Connor.
Howdy.
All right. And in a little bit, get into the Lions Den, where we have a special guest, our producer, Kid J, that we mentioned frequently in this podcast. And he's chiming every once in a while, but now he's going to be entering Lions himself. So, I mean, it's a whole new ballgame.
Yeah,
for him, but
I kind of feel for him. It's going to be tough entering Lions.
It's a scary place to be.
Yeah.
We'll get to that in a moment. But before we do, let's just talk about this upcoming game a little bit. And, I mean, it's the obvious. The Lions traveling to L.A. And facing Matt Stafford. I think this is the clear number one storyline. I guess number two or 1B, if you're Jared Goff at least, is maybe a revenge game for him or try to play good against his former team.
Sure.
Yeah, for sure.
That might be the – and I don't know if you guys saw Sean McVay's comments. He commented in the offseason, too, about how he didn't like the way that he handled the trade. I don't think he minded the trade, honestly. Maybe he could have handled it publicly a little better.
I think. Initially, he was just so excited to get Stafford. He kind of forgot to be nice to Goff.
Right.
I think that's what he means. Yeah. No one regrets that.
Because I don't think he cared about Goffer's feelings being traded. Honestly, I just think maybe the way it was publicly handled could have been better. I don't think there was anybody happier this offseason than Sean McVay getting Matt Stafford into his offense, where he has 16 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. He's setting like career marks so far in this season. And he looks great in this offense. You got Cooper Kupp, Van Jefferson, Robert Woods.
Well, he refuses to use in fantasy.
Who?
Robert Woods. I drafted Robert Woods, and Cooper Kupp's been getting all the points this year.
Robert Woods had a big Thursday night game.
Yeah.
I drafted Cooper Kupp, so I'm happy. I think a lot of us wanted Cooper Kupp in the draft a few years ago, too.
Yeah, I wish that he would have come over in that Stafford trade to the Lions. That would have been helpful. But nice to have a receiver on the team.
Yeah. Anyways, this is a fascinating matchup. I mean, how are you guys going to feel about watching Stafford on the other team going against the Lions? Now, I know we've watched him on Sunday night and stuff like that, but now he's actually going against our team, the Detroit Lions.
Well,
are you going to be kind of like, if he makes a good play, like, good for him, or are you going to be like, F you, I want to win?
I want to win.
I think.
But let's be real. Yeah, we're the last, you know, one win team in football, and I mean Stafford's probably going to put on a show. So I think you just gotta
Connor, you promised to our listeners
that
you would convince us that we will beat the Rams.
I will.
I don't like that. Oh, yeah.
That's right coming now. Later in the pod, but please.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Stafford's going to put on a show. That doesn't mean he's going to win. He's going to put on a show. And that's okay. You can be happy about that, but still root for the Lions. It's not like, I don't think there's a conundrum here, personally.
I personally, as you guys know from past pods, I'm a huge Matthew Stafford fan, my all-time favorite Lion.
Right.
So I'm happy for his success, but I obviously Lions fan first, so I want us to win the game. So I don't know. It's going to be mixed feelings, like you said. I mean, I still love watching Stafford play, but it's going to suck getting a beatdown from him, which could happen. We'll see.
Well, a beatdown is projected by Vegas, I can tell you that much. The Lions are 14.5-point underdogs this weekend, traveling to L.A. And actually, you know what? They're not even the biggest underdogs this weekend, surprisingly. The biggest underdogs is actually the Texans in Arizona. They are 17.5-point underdog. That's like Alabama against Mississippi State last weekend type.
Yeah,
spread.
Right. That's college stuff, man.
To see spreads like this in the NFL, there's 3 double-digit underdogs this week. The Lions at L.A. Rams, the Bears at Tampa Bay, and the Texans at Arizona. So some really big spreads this weekend. But, I mean, the way the Lions played last week, it's hard not to see why the Lion is what it is.
Yeah.
What do we need to do to succeed in this game? Is it run the ball, keep Matt Stafford off the field as long as possible? I've clamored for that last week, and we went the opposite way with it. So I don't know what our game plan is. And maybe Jared Goff will show Sean McVay, hey, I can throw it 20 yards. Maybe. I doubt it.
I think the game plan is Goff remembers that he was a number one overall pick, and he decides to act like it. And we went in a shootout. That's the only way we win, I think.
Yeah. A shootout. Wow. Yeah. I don't know. It's going to be you got to stop Stafford somehow. You know, limit what they're doing in the passing game. And we have to run the ball. But I'm hoping that Goff will step up, like you say, revenge match, because I know he's not too happy with McVay, despite his public, saying how he loves McVay as a coach and all that stuff.
Right.
I think the way they did handle it from Goff's perspective was not that great. And I think hopefully he'll use that anger and channel it to some quality offensive plays and hopefully take some chances, you know, force the ball downfield a little bit.
Definitely. And I don't know if you guys, I believe I sent you a a video of a breakdown of Sewell in this last game against the Bengals and how he played. It was a breakdown by Brandon Thorne, a really good Twitter follow, that breaks down offensive linemen. He's breaking down offensive rookies, and he had Sewell film. And if you watch that, again, Brandon Thorne is the guy's name. I'd recommend you looking it up. We also retweeted that on our Twitter feed, at Drinking Lions. Just want to mention it. But anyways, he was more... It was a film about Sewell, but he's way more critical of Goff in the film than he really was about Sewell, because Goff would drift back. He drifts back like 10, 12 yards and makes it really hard for an offensive lineman to block a defensive end. Because when you drift back 10, 12 yards, that's a much more straight line to the quarterback than like a typical 6, 7, even 8-yard drop like you would see a Tom Brady usually do. So that's a little concerning for me as well, that when you see and hear that in a film breakdown by an NFL expert. Sometimes yeah. We don't recognize that, but that adds to the concern about the way Goff's playing. And maybe hopefully they catch it on film or something, but there's a lot of concerns about Goff.
I'm kind of seeing now what the Rams, you know, we're talking about. Yeah. Getting rid of him, because we're seeing the shortcomings of Goff and like how Stafford's a step up from that. And
for sure.
I'm hoping, it's weird because Goff, when everything's right with him, when the line's blocking, when he's got time, like in the first couple games, he can be pretty effective and place the ball pretty well. But when things start to go bad, his balls start to drift high and he's forcing throws that are a little off, you know, just things aren't right with him.
Absolutely. Well, gentlemen, I know somebody that's all too familiar with the Jared Goff experience, and that is our producer, Kid Jay. And he will now be entering the Lion's Den. Kid Jay, welcome to Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid and entering the
Lion's
Den.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for having me.
You crazy bastard for entering in here.
Yeah.
I know you're a Rams fan, and people are like, why is a Rams fan producing our, you know, especially a podcast where we drink the Blue Kool-Aid? But, you know, this is my twin brother. And he's really good at all this editing stuff. And first of all, thank you for editing, but that's where the thanks ends. Now, you know, let's get into it a little bit here. So the Lions, I know, big underdogs going to L.A. First of all, you've been on to here before, so we don't need to ask the typical questions. We get into it a little more. But since you were there listening to hear us talk about Jared Goff, what do you think about Jared Goff? What was your experience like with him as your Rams quarterback, and how is it now with Matt Stafford?
I think though, so Jared Goff, his I think he was not like he. I think he's more. I think Jared Goff was he's a quality quarterback. I think, and I think as time went along and he kept making more mistakes and kept making the same mistakes over and over and over again, Sean McVay really lost his trust in him. And
what kind of mistakes?
Just like a lot, just interceptions. He constantly fumbled. He led the league in, I think, fumbles last year. He fumbled a ton last year, and he's still fumbling again this year. A lot of people think that's because he's got tiny hands, but
I love that.
I've heard that. I've
we have mentioned
heard
that on the pod before.
Yeah. And that hasn't really changed this year. So I think that's why I think Sean McVay could have saw like where the offense could have went with Matt Stafford. And you know, there's that famous like story about them meeting Cabo and like them getting to know each other and like, you know, kind of hatching the idea of the trade happening and stuff like that. And I think once Stafford went to the Rams, it really unlocked this like whole big deep ball that they've had. Like they've had like multiple gigantic plays, like, you know, Van Jefferson and like Deshaun Jackson, and like not Tutu Atwell quite yet, but it's like really unlocked like a whole different part of the offense. And I think kind of what you're seeing it with seeing with the Lions this year is kind of like what the Rams kind of saw with Jared Goff, with like obviously like less without as good as good at coaching. So,
all right,
fair enough. Very diplomatic response there.
Yes, very good.
Yeah. So we don't want to get too comfortable here. So I just got to ask why. Why are you still rooting for, I know you started rooting for this team when they were in St. Louis and you liked the greatest show on turf and blah, 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 blah. But now that this team moved to LA, a city nobody likes to visit, at a fan base that's not really that passionate, a fan base that doesn't really care about football too much. So why do you continue to root for this team still?
I would disagree that the fan base isn't that passionate. The fan base is really passionate. I'm part of a lot of, like, you know, Rams and Facebook groups, and there's, you know, they're selling out every game here. You know, the celebrities are coming in. They're, like, putting on a show. I think there's a good fan base in LA. And I still like them because, you know, like, they were so bad for so many years from, like, you know, like, until, like, you know, like, through the Jeff Fisher, like, 500 days and, like.
Oh, those are the days, yeah. 500 and 97,
when they were,
7-9.
When they were in, like, the early 2000s, when in the late 2000s, when they were picking, like, you know, like, in the top five for, you know, like, those, like, 3 to 5 year stretch, and they had those awful draft picks, like, you know, like, they're just had some bad draft picks and stuff. So it's just like, I've liked them since I was a kid. So I just wanted to stick with them, you know. I really do like support the Lions, you know, but because I produced a podcast and, you know, and, you know, they're all family. So I do support the Lions, but, you know, the Rams are my number one still. So, and
well, that's good.
Yeah.
Do you guys agree with me about the LA fan base? Do you think they're I don't get the vibes like that it's a football.
LA has never been able to support an NFL team. Now that they have two, it's a big question mark. But I will say there does seem to be more excitement about this Rams team than I would.
There's definitely more than the Chargers at the very least. The Chargers are.
The question is if the Rams are also really good, if they get bad again, is LA still going to show up to games? I don't know. We don't know. I mean,
it's a lot of new fans because I live in St. Louis now, and a lot of my fellow citizens are suing the Rams because of the way they left the town. So
Kroenke's an asshole.
Kroenke is not loved in St. Louis. He's a terrible person.
That case is actually going to trial in January, so it's kind of
that'll be interesting. That'll be entertaining.
Do the fans get paid? How does that work?
Well, the season ticket holders. Well,
the city sued. The city sued the NFL for, like, not leaving proper, like, in a graceful.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Not ethically.
Yeah, St. Louis followed ethically all the leaving. Protocol.
Yeah.
I don't think Kroenke cares too much.
It's really funny. He owns a soccer team too, Arsenal. And I'm a soccer fan, and everyone in England hates him too. Like, I think everywhere Kroenke goes, he's
right.
Just
well, hated. Wasn't he part of that Super League they were trying to
force? Yeah, he was. And everyone's tweeting out, like, Kroenke out, like, trying to force him to sell Arsenal. So he's just not a good guy, it sounds like, but who knows?
Yeah, doesn't he own, like, the Avalanche and the Nuggets?
Yeah, he owns
too?
The Avalanche and Nuggets and the Rapids as well.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Where does this money come from? What does he do?
I don't know.
It was like a Walmart real estate guy or something. Yeah, real estate. Yeah, something like
wow.
that.
Hey, and his wife is the heiress to Walmart, so.
Oh, yeah. There it is. There it is. Bob O'Connor. Throw him on the hot seat.
Question. I don't have a cruel question because you're family, but I can't crush you. But no. No, I'm just curious because you watched a lot of Lions football because you have a lot of Lions fans in the family. And you've seen Stafford over the years. Were you excited to get Stafford, and were you glad to see Goff leave?
Oh yeah.
Where were your emotions on that?
I was absolutely excited to get Stafford. Like he's like such like a gamer, and he just has like so much like, you know, much more passing ability than like Goff does. Like he's still doing like no look passes. Like his second touchdown pass to Cooper Kupp last week was a no look touchdown pass on like the sideline, and it was really cool. Yeah.
It's funny now the national media is finally giving him credit for that stuff. They never talked about it before. There was all Mahomes doing that, and now suddenly all these announcers are noticing how great Stafford is at throwing the ball.
Right.
Yeah.
a lot of articles this offseason about Stafford.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And his chemistry with like Cooper Kupp is just something that I haven't seen with any really Lions receiver since maybe Calvin Johnson, because they just have like a massive connection. They're really getting along. And after that, like no look pass, they were looking at the tablets on the sideline, and they're like laughing and cackling and having a good time. So
I feel like him and Golden Tate had that a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
No,
that's true. Definitely.
Yeah. Not to this extent.
I mean, him and Calvin Johnson was the ultimate connection.
Right.
But
yeah, Marvin Jones. I mean, they had some good connection, but yeah, the Cooper Kupp one seems to be special.
I got to ask, in terms of just the Rams and like their season, is it Super Bowl or bust? Is that the only successful season for the Rams?
I think so. Yeah. Super Bowl or bust. They traded, you know, the two first round picks and the third for Matthew Stafford. They have so much dead money, and they're just like basically saintsing up the cap. And
yeah,
and, I think it's like Super Bowl or bust. I'm the only really team I'm worried about for them is like the Cardinals, who the Lions play in December. So
yeah,
They beat
in Detroit.
Yes. Yeah,
yeah. How does it feel getting fleeced by the Fords? I mean, the Lions are gonna build a dynasty out of this trade, and you know, as much as we miss Stafford, you know, with our draft picks and the, you know, the new changes, it's got to be tough for you to watch.
It is kind of tough. It does make the first round of the NFL draft kind of boring, but you know, it's
when's the last first round pick you've had?
I think
7 years
ago.
Yeah,
I think it was like
Jared Goff.
It was probably I think it, I think it might have been Jared Goff actually, and because the Rams like build their team in a very different way than other teams in the NFL. Like, they don't really care about first round picks. They
Was Aaron Donald before Goff?
Yeah, Aaron Donald was the Eric Ebron year, remember? Aaron Donald went 10. Ebron went 10, and Aaron Donald went like 13th.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Now you're making me mad.
So, Kid J, let's go over this Rams defense just a little bit because we haven't mentioned it yet. What's going to give us problems or who are we going to dominate in the middle? Like, I look forward to Evan Brown locking down Aaron Donald all game. That's an easy matchup. Then we got Leonard Floyd going against Matt Nelson on the right tackle.
Easy matchup again.
Yeah, that's like, yeah, or at least a 50-50 battle. Then you got Sewell. Are you scared of Sewell? Tell me, just a little about the defense.
Yeah, they love to change the looks up around. They love to rotate a lot of their defensive backs and their safeties around a lot. They only have like four. I think they only have four cornerbacks on their roster. They have like six safeties and four cornerbacks on their roster, but they love to rotate all the safeties around and love to give like different multiple looks. And their defense is built to like stop the big play, which I know the Lions are not very familiar with this year. But
come on, wow.
But just because you're right doesn't mean it doesn't hurt.
But the Rams do go up a lot of rushing yards, so that's what I'm concerned about, is like if the Lions are able to like, you know, rush consistently, I'm a bit nervous about that. But I think the Rams pass defense and like their defensive line, and I think the Rams pass defense is good enough to stop the Lions offense. I'm just worried about them if the Lions really commit to the run and find some success and like keep Jared and keep Matt Stafford off the field. That's what I'm kind of worried about. That's what their game plan should be. I don't know if it will be that, but who knows?
Probably won't be, but it should be.
Yeah.
Yes, it should be. I also, yeah, I want to see like 30 plus rushes. I don't know if it's going to happen. I want to see it though.
Yeah. I'm just,
but who else do you have? Who do you have on the opposite edge of, Leonard Floyd.
It's a rotation between Terrell Lewis and Obu. I can't forget his name.
He's irrelevant.
Yeah, they're like
they'll be locked down.
They're like they kind of rotate on that end, but they have like that little they have a little pass rush committee over there. But I think, and they've gotten sacked the last couple weeks. They're playing pretty well alongside like Leonard Floyd and Aaron Donald. So I think the Rams can definitely get some sacks on Jared Goff, especially because he does not like to throw the ball away, or he loves to stay in the pocket. So yeah. And then we have like, you know, Jalen Ramsey, you know, he plays kind of everywhere. He plays like they kind of move him around everywhere. They try to keep him as close to the ball in like the slot as possible, but they do move him to the outside occasionally. And then they have a, you know, really good safety in Jordan Fuller, who was a sixth round pick from the Ohio State last year, and he's gained like the trust of like the coaches and stuff like that to be like the defensive play caller on the field and things like that. So
yeah,
They played pretty well. I know they've dominated the Giants last week, who are not like great, but they played decently well other than outside of the Cardinals game.
I know the defense is kind of underwhelmed a little bit based compared to expectations, but maybe that was just the Cardinals game because they did play pretty good against the Buccaneers. And who's the starting running back now for the Rams?
Daryl Henderson. Okay. He's third-year back. Yeah.
How's Sony Michel working out for you guys?
He's working up okay. He's like the running back too. He comes in for like, you know, like 5 to 10 carries a game. He's more like the power guy, and Daryl Henderson's more like the one cut and run sort of guy. He's kind of, and he catches some passes occasionally. He doesn't have as good of like pass catching ability as like DeAndre Swift or anything, But he's kind of like he kind of plays the Jamal Williams role in the Rams offense, where Sony Michel plays the Jamal Williams role, where he comes in for like the power rushes and things like that. So
okay.
All right, Kid Jay. So we need to wrap up this now, but before we do, of course, we need to get your prediction for this game.
Wait,
the
is
Lions.
He
going to
sing the fight song? No, you got to sing.
Oh yeah,
the Rams fight
sorry.
Song.
Yeah, can yes. No, thank you. Thank you, Bob. Thank you.
Do they have a fight song?
Yeah, I don't think. Kid, I don't think they have a fight song. No, I don't think the Rams have a fight song.
This is what I'm talking about. LA. Yeah. I mean, you don't even have a fight song. What kind of football team is this?
What kind
of
team is that?
For?
Maybe the lyrics, the music and lyrics got lost in the move in the way back from.
It's just
LA
the
to
USC
St. Louis
fight and... song. They just copied it.
Wow.
I mean,
you're crazy. It's in the entertainment capital of America, in LA, and they can't even come up with a song. I mean, what
I know it's ridiculous.
Yeah, right.
It'd be a great music yes. video. Great
Maybe
song.
I should write one.
You should
see my twin brother and I here. We went on different paths at a young age because he was dropped on his head as a child, and ever since then we've diverted in completely different directions. Justin's been downhill since then, especially as you know, choosing to. Ever since you chose your Rams fandom. But anyways, let's get to your prediction, Kid Jay.
I think the Rams will win. I think they'll win 30-10.
Oh.
Whoa.
Oh.
Yeah. Holy cow.
And we get the 7 on a pick 30, six, 10? Right?
Maybe, yeah. It'll if it makes you feel better, Connor.
It does.
All right.
But I
so Stafford's not getting 4 touchdown passes on us with that score. So that's good.
4 touchdowns and a safety. 4 touchdowns. Because Johnny Hecker's going to pin him deep, and then Jared Goff's going to take a safety in the end zone, you know?
No.
Come on, man.
That's a terrible prediction.
Well, you can take your fight song less team, and I guess, you know, go do whatever you want on Sunday. But... You know, we do thank you, Kid Jay, for producing this podcast and also willing to enter the Lions' den. Appreciate it. And I guess, you know, we'll be talking or not talking. We'll see how Sunday goes.
Thanks, Kid Jay.
Thank you Thanks. So much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
All right, gentlemen. So again, thanks to Kid Jay. He produces the podcast and does a great job on here. So in all. You know, in all fairness, so it's hard to get truly, you know, outright angry at him. But
and you know, now that he's gone, can we talk smack about him because he's still producing this thing. And,
well, he's gonna listen to all
this. He was insane. You know, with all those takes, 30-10. I mean, what
30-10.
Wait,
yeah,
the
he's
safety?
Not drinking
the... Come on.
Come on.
You think when he, you know, edits every episode of this, he'd be drinking the Kool-Aid a little more. And
I know. We got to slip it into his drink a little bit of time.
Well, this is our time, Connor, now to convince him and our, you know, our listeners and the general NFL public why in our predictions the Lions might win. So, Connor, you promised that you would convince everybody. So I want you're trying to get into Harvard, and you need to convince the entry folks.
I just want to say
you're going to win. This needs to be your best piece of work.
I just want to say that one of our listeners, Jillian, she's a huge fan, big supporter. I promised her directly that I was going to convince her that the Lions would beat the Rams this week. And let me explain why it's going to happen. All right. No mental gymnastics. This is all confidence. This is all confidence. Jared Goff, reason number one, revenge game. He hates McVay. We all hate McVay, right? McVay's an asshole. I think this is the game he finally decides to get that swagger back from week one with the Niners. And he starts throwing downfield a little bit. You find Hawk. You find him on Amon-Ra St. Brown. I think he throws for 4 touchdown passes. I think he rushes one at himself, and I think DeAndre Swift's going to rush for 2 more. I think this is the game that the offense just explodes. I don't even know how many touchdowns I just predicted. What was that, 8?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's walk back one of those DeAndre Swift touchdowns. Let's say 7 touchdowns total. And I think Stafford's going to put on a show. But I think we're going to do just enough to come out with this victory. It's going to be 49-46.
Wow. Holy cow, Jesus.
This is like that Rams Chiefs game a couple years
ago.
Right, on Monday night.
I think that would be Scorigami, too. Our defense is going to do just enough to stop Stafford.
Literally, I mean, like force a field goal on one drive.
Pretty much.
Like, that'd be just enough.
Wow.
All right, Bob. Are you predicting 100 points in this game or what?
I am not predicting 100 points in this game. But, you know, Stafford's coming back. It's not in Detroit, but he's playing his old team. And these guys all know him. They practiced against him. They know his every move, his every thought. So they'll be one step ahead of him, our defense. You know, we're gonna get in there and get after him, slow him down. I'm sure he'll get his yards because he's a good quarterback. But Lions will slow him down. And I think Goff, the revenge game. And he was talking today at his press conference about, hey, maybe we'll run the ball more this time. Like, okay, that's a good idea. He didn't see.
Yeah, that'd be a great idea, wouldn't it?
but I think the revenge game will feed into him. I mean, he is a number one draft pick, so the guy's got some moxie. So I think this is the week he steps up. It's like Patricia against the Patriots. You know, he's got the one game in him. I think Goff's, this is going to be his game where he's going to light it up. He's going to throw four touchdown passes. Lions are going to win 34-20.
Woo! There you go. Man, a lot of points being put up on the board by you guys in your predictions.
That's what we're here for.
I love it.
Gotta drink some Kool-Aid.
I'm gonna predict this one down to the wire. I think Matt Stafford has one of those classic, like, what kind of pick was this? Like, every once in a while, Stafford and the Lions would have like a throw that just made you get really frustrated. I think he has one of those in this game. Just to kind of remind us of the full Matt Stafford experience that we had. And that it's going to be 27-26.
Wow. It's going
to be down to the wire. It's going to be a 1-point victory. It's going to take everything. It's going to take a perfect game defensively and offensively, but I do think we can get enough done here, especially in the running game, where I think Jamal Williams and Swift each pick up a touchdown. Swift, I'm not sure if it's rushing or receiving. Williams be on the ground for sure. But 27-26, we've all predicted a Lions victory. We've convinced America.
We did
it. We've convinced Kid J, our producer.
I'm sure we did.
All right. So that's going to wrap up the podcast here. Again, the Lions, 14.5-point underdogs. That game is at 3:05 Central, 4:05 Eastern in L.A. The over-under in that one's 51, by the way. So, Bob and Connor.
Smash the over.
That's what you're
It's going to be part of my same-game parlay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Take the over.
Then definitely go for that. Otherwise, Twitter at Drinking Lions. Instagram at Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts, please subscribe. Please download. Please leave a review. We'd really greatly appreciate it. And thanks again to our producer, Kid J, both for entering the Lions Den and for doing a great job producing the podcast. Other than that, gentlemen, listeners, we hope you have a great weekend. And last but not least, as always, go
Lions!
Woo! Go Lions!
Forward down the field. A charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock. Go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go!
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.